Good morning, Cooks.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day. Thank you. This morning, on behalf of Jason, our minister who is on vacation, Dr. Labonte, and the staff in the session, we welcome you to this morning's service. Tom Labonte is no stranger to Cooks, and we welcome him today, as well as his wife, Star Ann, and her mother, Ruth. Glad to have you this morning. For those of you who do not know Dr. Labonte, he did his pastoral internship here at Cooks several years ago. He is now honorably retired PCUSA pastor and has served as a part-time assistant pastor for congregational care at Bethel Presbyterian Church for 2 years. And as a part-time transitional pastor at Kings Mountain from June 22 to May 23. Prior to the ministry, Dr. Labonte was a military officer, served on a college faculty, had a career in financial services as well. And so Tom and Star Ann have been married for over 50 years and have two daughters. So welcome again, sir.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
I married a saint of a woman.
He was telling me that right before that, so we concur. We concur. So glad to have you. Happy Father's Day to you, sir.
Thank you.
So for some of the announcements this morning, everyone is invited to join us for summer Sunday school that is meeting now through September the 3rd. All adults are invited to meet with Jason in room 113 at 9 a.m. each week for a study on the Apostles' Creed. And all of the youth and children will meet with Paige Benson in room 210. Be sure to note in our bulletin today about Vacation Bible School. It is, it's a month away, maybe a little more than a month, but we wanted to get the message out there, and you'll start seeing some things about this and so forth. It will be July 30th through August the 2nd from 6 to 8 each evening. If you have children that are 4-year-old through the 5th grade, be sure to put it on your calendar and have the kids and you invite several of their friends. We'd love to have them here. There's also information about items that they need, and hopefully you can donate. I know Paige has a list of that. And if you have any questions or anything, please see Paige. Note that the 10 cents a meal offering during the worship will be collected during the worship next Sunday. The flowers this morning are in memory of Emmett and Pat Thompson, in honor of Jennifer Rosser, and all three of the birthdays were and are this week by their family. And now Clayton has our moment for mission. Clayton?
Good morning. Good morning. Just want to share a few minutes about the Kairos walk that Jason and I had the, the privilege to go on last month. We took about between 30 and 35,000 cookies. So thank you for all the kids and everybody who donated cookies. Cookies are one of the big ministry takeaways from this weekend, because not only do the participants during the 3 days get cookies all the time, but all the inmates in the prison get cookies, and we do what's called a cookie run. And there are 1,500 inmates in the prison, so every inmate gets a dozen cookies. And so it's good when you get to go on these cookie runs. Jason and I had the privilege of being at the same table together. Jason was the clergy and I was the table leader. And basically the weekend works like this. There are a series of talks, and then the table, we were at the table of Paul. The table discusses the talks and how it affects these guys. And then we do a poster on the talk, and then we have what's called a poster party, which is really fun. They come up to the stage and they present their poster. And so the weekend is a series of that. And in between, there is worship. And I had the privilege of leading worship. We also have a room designated in the chapel area, which is one building that we're in the whole time. And the little room is the chapel. So we will go from the community room, which is the big room, to the small chapel room. And there's a series of readings. And we sing and do some powerful things in the chapel. I tell you, I keep telling people, if you could tap the way these guys sing, if the church is saying like these guys sing, we would have revival in this country, because these guys rip it out. They love to praise God. We even have Hispanic guys that can't speak English and they're singing. So it is really powerful. But thank you so much for your prayers. We will have some slides in the next couple of weeks of all the youth group kids making the cookies. And recently, too, the youth went on their first escape room, and they survived. And the escape room was about Thor, and they actually were worthy enough to pull the hammer out. So you will be able to see pictures of that soon. So thank you so much for your prayers again.
We love you, O Lord, Father and Creator. I call upon the Lord, who is above all others and to be praised.
My God, in you I take refuge.
Blessed is the Lord, for he lives as the God of my salvation.
For this I extol you, O Lord, for you sing praises to your name.
Thank you, Ethan.
Well, it is good to be back with you. It's been a while. It's been quite a journey. I've lost track of how many times I've retired, but my wife assures me that this time in ministry, it's for real. And I have to get her permission for any other temporary assignments, although coming to Cook's is never in doubt. So it's so good to be back with you. And for those of you who have been members here for a while, you know, you folks never change where you sit. So I did a scan, and you're all here, you know, and there, Jack, brother, you moved over a little bit, but that's okay. That's good. Very good. So it's wonderful to be back here and look forward to having a wonderful worship as we praise and glorify God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Since I had an encounter with Mr. McClure this morning, he and I had a very meaningful experience during the horse show. And for those of you who have been at Cook's for some time, you know about the horse show and how big a deal that was and what it took to put it on. And we were in the middle of the horse show one afternoon, and he and I were talking, and T.J. Thompson came up to us and said, "I need you two." And we looked at each other, looked at T.J. T.J. said, "There's five or six people here with dogs who want to have a dog show." And we looked at each other, and we both said to TJ, "We don't know anything about judging dogs." TJ said, "Well, nobody else does either, so here are the ribbons, just do it." So we had seen this Westminster show, you know, where they take all these hybrid dogs and they trot them around and all that. So we had these six folks take their dogs and go in a circle, and we eyed them. Folks, these were not pedigree dogs. These were like Heinz 57 kind of dogs, you know, that I grew up with. But they loved their dogs, so we treated them kindly. So in a few words, we agreed we were just going to pass ribbons out. So we start going down the line, handing out a ribbon, and they'd read the ribbon, most wonderful dog, most beautiful dog, most intelligent dog, just beaming. The last person we came to is a young lady with her dog who probably was not the most beautiful dog, but a cute little critter. That dog got the most valuable, most exalted, most greatest dog ribbon, the longest ribbon. And I thought, I wonder how the other five are going to take that. They had figured the deal out that we didn't know what we were doing, so it was okay. It was no problem. So that's my favorite horse show experience, that when I come to Cook's, it just flashes back at me. Those were really good days. So let's start worship service with our opening prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Everlasting God, in whom we live and move and have our being, you have made us for yourself, so that our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Give us purity of heart and strength of purpose, that no selfish passion may hinder us from knowing your will, that no weakness will keep us from doing it, that in your light we may see light clearly, and in your service find perfect freedom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we now have this time to pass the peace of Christ, and I think it's a good thing maybe to practice a little Hebrew here. Whenever Jesus met someone, he would say in Hebrew, Shalom Aleichem, which means peace be with you. And the person he was giving this, which is a greeting, a blessing, actually, would say to him, Aleichem Shalom, and also to you. So let's practice our Hebrew here a little bit, folks. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom. Awesome. Very good. Let's pass the peace of Christ one to another. Hey, choir.
Request.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do it.
Tell you, I like the fact that you folks are practicing your Hebrew and you're doing it so well. But I think now it's time to have a little music. Our anthem is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, number 363. And if you're able, please rise. Church, where we begin to cleanse our hearts and minds to receive and hear and act upon the word of the Lord. So this morning, let us remember that if we confess our sins through Jesus Christ, God the Father forgives all sins. And in that, we give thanks unto God. So join me this morning in our prayer of confession, as shown on your screen. Heavenly Father and Creator, we come to you in the name of Jesus, confessing we have not been faithful to your purpose. We abide in sin, disdaining the ways of the one who came to take our sin away. We confess we do not really know Christ or aspire to follow the path of loving service. Heal our brokenness, O God, and bring together the fragments of our scattered existence into a meaningful whole so that we may live our faith. We lift this prayer to you with a contrite heart in the name of our Redeemer and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us now go to the Lord in our individual silent prayer of confession. Heavenly Father, hear, receive, and bless these individual silent prayers rendered to you In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, all sins are forgiven. That when we come to Him through the Father, Christ intercedes for us and makes us pure, clean, and whole in order to hear, receive, and act upon His holy word. We give thanks to God for the blessings of Christ in our life and in our journey of faith. Amen. Now, having been cleansed and pardoned, we come to the Lord affirming what we believe using the Apostles' Creed, which for nearly 1,800 years has been used universally through the Christian Church in every service of worship. And once we have received the Holy Spirit within us, we will be ready then to hear the word read and proclaimed and act upon it. Join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And I believe we have another hymn now, number 449, Take My Life and Let It Be.
We will be singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6.
Time. My definition of a child of God is anyone under the age of 90. So when we call for the children to come forward, all y'all can come forward and enjoy the moment.
I'll see you right here. Good morning. How's everybody today? Okay, good. As you can see in the bulletin, I am not Petey. I got the call this morning that Reggie and Denise volunteered me to do the children's sermon. So I'm going to do the best I can in winging it. Okay, so bear with me. As you know, the day is Father's Day. And on my daily prayer, I got the reading from Malachi. And it's Malachi 4, verse 4. Remember the Lord, my servant Moses, the decree and the law I gave him from Herod for all of Israel. See, and I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to their father, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Pretty powerful statement there this morning. And it made me think, you know, remind me of my dad. My dad was the smartest guy in the world. He barely had a 10th grade education. But he could figure and do numbers like nobody's business. He was a carpenter. And he taught me the trade of carpentry. He was born in 1928. He was deferred from the World War II because he already had family brothers already in the war. So he was drafted during the Korean War. He rose to the rank of staff sergeant here at Fort Jackson. Remember, he didn't have nothing more than a 10th grade education. He raised four boys. I'm the third. He raised us to go to church every Sunday. We worked hard. He worked hard during the week. But on Sundays, you took rest. You didn't wash your car. You didn't mow the grass. The day was the Lord's. The Sabbath day was the Lord's day. While I barely remember him ever saying he loved us, the house was full of love by his example. And I remember him and bless him, and I miss him every day. So like the time, I'd like for you guys to reflect on your fathers this day and everybody else. Take a moment and remember your fathers and the love that they shared with you. Pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, thank you to the fathers on earth and raised in us in their image. Amen. Okay, we got some gifts to give out to the fathers today. Let's see. I got five that I think can help us. Maybe six. Can you help me today, too? Pass out some gifts? Okay, all right. Like we did for Mother's Day, all the fathers, stand up. Go ahead, come on. And we got some gifts. So everybody, pass out some gifts to the fathers. And remember, we got some up here, too. Okay. Okay, once you get your gifts, go ahead and sit down so the kids are, they know who's got them. While we're doing that, I forgot one part of the story I was going to tell. And me and my wife, we were set up by the women of the shrine on a blind date, basically. And when Dina kind of had the feeling something was up, so she wanted to know what was going on. Well, they said, there's a guy in the shrine they want you to meet. Well, when she asked who, they said it was Margaret and Joe's son. My wife knew my mom and dad before she knew me, and she said, no, absolutely, knowing my mother. But she thought and reconsidered, knowing my dad, she agreed to go out with me. And the rest is history. We've been married 32 years this year, right? 31 this year. Thank you for the correction. Hey, at least I gave it an extra year. Oh, is that everybody? Okay, thank you for helping me today, and enjoy Father's Day.
Thank you, that was well done. I believe we have special music.
Yes, we do.
before on choir rehearsal nights, which is really worship, we always do a scripture reading, and I've been reading from the Psalms lately, and of course the Psalms are songs, and David wrote the majority of the Psalms, and David was a musician. So the song that we're going to sing today is Psalm 97. What it's based on, it's called "The Lord Reigns."
The Lord. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord. The people see his glory. For you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth, over all the earth. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice.
Thank you very much. I hope I can bring as much energy to my sermon as they did to that wonderful music. Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, we come to you praising and worshiping you as our ever merciful and loving Father God. We seek in humility to better discern and understand your will for us to be repentant people of genuine faith. Open our hearts and minds to strengthen our understanding and to hear and live by your word. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, on this particular day of the Lord, we glorify, praise, and worship our Father of all creation and lift up the fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers among us this morning. And you know, in every generation, people have struggled through tough times in marriage and in raising their children. And today, as we look around our society and where we seem to be heading, it can be extremely difficult as parents to help our children navigate through all of the other stuff going on in our society that would pull them away from God, from the Church of Jesus Christ, and from doing what Jesus would expect us to do. But God's expectations of fathers and mothers is pretty clear in his word, that we are to be an example for our children and for each other, and to follow as best we can in the journey that Christ is taking us on in our life. The Old Testament, if we go back a little ways, in the Old Testament, the exemplar of fatherhood was Abraham. Selected by God, chosen by God to be, in his name, the father of all people or the father of nations. And he tried and did his best to faithfully and obediently live according to God's word. Like us, he was not perfect, but he was the exemplar for the Jewish people of what it meant to be a godly man and a godly father. King Solomon, renowned through the ages for his wisdom, had a lot to say about parenting, about fathers and mothers, and living a wise and righteous life. He probably, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is known without doubt as the author of the wisdom literature of the Bible. And here is what he says about being a father teaching a son, or a mother teaching a son and daughter, what it means to be a wise and righteous parent. Hear the word of the Lord. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Fear the Lord in Hebrew means not to be afraid of God, but to behold him in majesty, awe, and reverence. English sometimes doesn't exactly translate from the original language. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will bring over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son that he delights. So when Solomon is speaking for God, in God's eyes, what does it mean to be a father? And God has expectations about fathers, how all of us should live. A wise and righteous father is loyal. He's loyal to his family, loyal to his wife, loyal to his parents, loyal to God and Jesus Christ, and to his friends. He trusts, honors, and serves God by giving of his time, talent, and resources to the Lord. He lives as a man of integrity and honor, strength and compassion, and forgiveness, setting an example for his wife, children, and his extended family. A father loves, respects, and honors his wife, fulfilling his marriage vows made in the sight of God. His wife, the mother of his children, is to be his dearest and closest friend and soulmate. She joins him in their journey of faith and lives these same qualities that are commended by Solomon to her husband and commended by God. A wise and righteous father walks in the straight path. Gentlemen, that's a pretty tall order given to us by God through Solomon that we all try to live up to. Now, this is not to deny that there are times when, gentlemen, we may not completely satisfy our wives in our behavior according to what God is expecting. Years ago in the American Legion magazine, I read an article on what it would mean if fathers, men, truly ruled the world instead of thinking they do. And here's what the author said. He speculates that life in the American family would take a different turn with Dad in the driver's seat. Nodding and looking at your watch would be the response when your wife says to you, I love you. When your wife wants to tell you she loves you, when you're watching TV, she would appear in a little box in the lower left end of the screen so you don't miss the sports channel. Viewing all sports channels, though, would be free year-round and would get precedence over anything else on the television. telephones would automatically cut off 30 minutes after the conversation. I'm sorry, 30 seconds, not 30 minutes. 30 seconds after the conversation. And then there's the revealing commercials of some years ago where a man is sitting in his easy chair. He's reading his paper, and his wife comes in and through the doorway in a brand new beautiful dress and says to him, "Honey, does this dress make me look fat?" And without looking up, he says, "You betcha." You know how that turned out. That was not good. So, gentlemen, sometimes the forbearance of our better half is something we should certainly appreciate and not stretch too far. So this morning, Jesus presents a very powerful testimonial on fathers living a godly life in the parable of the lost or prodigal son. I'm going to say to you that his purpose here is not to focus as much on the son as on the behavior of the father. So please remember that as we're navigating through this story. So Jesus teaches how this father deals with rejection, sin, repentance, forgiveness, love, that is just as applicable today as it was 2,000 years ago. Human behavior has not changed since the dawn of time. So we begin our gospel reading with Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son and family, verses 11 through 16. Hear again the word of the Lord. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So let's call this young man the runaway son. So the younger son asked his father for the portion of his inheritance that should come to him after his father's death. This is highly disrespectful in that society, and actually a child doing that would typically be shunned, be thrown out of the family, would be sent away. This father did not do that because he loved this younger son. And even though he was being disrespected, he agreed to give his son his portion of everything this man had worked for all his life. Then the younger son further rejects his father because this would be considered highly disrespectful. Further disrespects his father by then leaving and taking his money and going into a foreign land, a Gentile land, and squandering all his money on drinking, women, and all other kinds of things that were not very godly, to the point where he wasted all of his money and then had no money in order to live. There was a famine, so any extra food that people might have was pretty much gone. So then the only way he can make a living is to herd pigs, swine. And you know, for a Jew, that is an absolute anathema. You do not associate with unclean animals that are pigs and swine. So he's taking care of the animals. He's feeding them slop. He's eating slop. He has sunk about as low as a Jewish man can sink. And then he begins to understand the humiliation and the degradation that he's brought on upon himself. So in Luke 15, verses 17 through 19, this young man has an awakening. And let's continue with the story. So when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants," the other word for servant is slave, we'll say hired servants, "have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Abba, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Accept me, if you will, as one of your slaves. So Jesus says this young man hits rock bottom. He sinks as low as a Jewish man can sink. And in the self-inflicted despair, he has a sudden awakening. He recognizes how foolish and stupid and disobedient he has been to his father, and decides that he's going to go back and hope that his father and his family will accept him. He doesn't know if they will, but he's going to give it a try. So he wants his father's forgiveness, and as he sets out on this journey, he begins to recite and rehearse what he's going to say to his father. He will address him as Abba, which in Hebrew means daddy, a term of endearment, as a sign of love and respect for the authority of his father that he owes his father, and to reestablish the relationship. And he's going to confess, I have sinned against God and you, my father. By my actions, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I recognize that. But in humility, he will plead, Daddy, if you will take me back, I know I don't deserve to be treated as family. If you'll take me back and allow me to be a servant or slave in your household, that's fine with me. So he sets out on this journey to his father, reflecting and thinking about his past, what he's done, the future, if he has one, what his father might say or do. But the thing he doesn't recognize is that every day his father has stood out or sat out on the porch looking at the road coming to his home, waiting for his son to return. And in his heart, he's forgiven his son. And one day he looks down and he sees this figure walking toward him, and he's hoping that it's his son. So Jesus continues his parable in Luke 15, verses 20 to 24. So the younger son got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And filled with compassion for him, he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The power of this in Judaism is that regardless of what his son has done, this father has forgiven him the worst sin that a son could give his father, and yet has embraced him, brought him back, and loves him in spite of the past, and the past is forgotten. But Jesus has a message here for people of his age and for us that's very important. Few images in the Bible come closer to describing the character of God than the loving and forgiving Father, the rejected and abandoned and heartbroken waiting Father. Every day he looks down that long road of his son's life, hoping for the son to return, praying for his return. And at last he sees him approaching. Now, he could have waited until this younger son came up on the porch, right? And then he could have lit into him saying, you disobedient, insolent son, you abandoned me, you insulted me, you left me, and now I'm not going to have anything to do with you. I'm going to disinherit you completely. And he would be in his rights with Judaic law to do that. But Jesus is giving a message in his time and to ours. God always forgives when we repent. Always. Without equivocation. So instead of going through all of that The father embraces his son. The ring on his finger means that he is reestablished in the family and still has an inheritance and place in the family. He puts on an expensive robe around him, acknowledging that he is his son. And to have a fatted calf celebrated is a great feast and a great honor in that time. But the father says, "This son of mine was dead, but yet he is alive again. He was lost, but has been found." And in those times when we may be lost, when we reach out to God and pray for forgiveness, that's how God feels about us. You're still my son. You're still my daughter. You're still part of my kingdom, regardless of what you have done. Now, it's interesting, don't you think, that there is an elder brother, right? So the elder brother, what's he been doing? Well, this young son has been off squandering his money and living this sinful life and all that. He's been working from dawn to night, working for his father in the fields. How do you think, if you're the elder brother, you're going to feel about this young guy coming back and being welcomed into the fold and having this big feast and the gold ring and all the rest? Well, the elder son is going to chastise his father for forgiving his younger brother. In Luke 15, verses 25 to 32. Here again, the word of the Lord. "Meanwhile, the older brother was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.'" That's a pretty strong encounter. "'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" So the elder son, learning of his brother's return and celebration, basically objects, saying, "Look, I've been the honorable, hardworking, dutiful son. I never left you. I never squandered your money. I never disobeyed you. You never have a celebration for me. You never had all of this music and all this good food for me. And I'm the one who's always working hard for you. What's the deal?" Basically, what's the deal here? You know? I deserve better than this, is basically what he's saying. And in his anger and jealousy, he can't forgive his brother. Doesn't the elder brother sort of remind you of all of those of us who feel we're owed something for all the good works we do, and yet maybe we don't get the recognition we should or the applause that maybe others get? There are some people who feel that way. But the point here is that neither the elder brother nor we can joyfully share in the gifts of the Father if we expect to be rewarded for what we think we deserve. And the point Jesus is making is, basically, in the eyes of God, we don't deserve a whole lot. But if we have faith in Christ, good things happen for us. Bad things will happen too, but Christ will always be there for us in the greater part of our life. Jesus expects that when we are wronged by others, we will forgive. We will forgive all when asked to be forgiven. Jesus teaches we will be judged by the same measure that we judge others. So I think the father's response to the eldest son is one of reconciliation and grace. He's basically saying, "Son, you're always part of me. I love you. I care for you. But you need, as I do, to love and care now also for the prodigal who has returned to us, who we thought was dead." No acts of contrition or good works are needed for forgiveness. It is enough that we seek forgiveness through Christ, and we are forgiven. So this parable is really a story about God's relationship with us as our Heavenly Father. And Jesus wants us to know how God feels when one of us accepts His blessings and grace and gifts and then deliberately takes the wrong path. He doesn't give up on us, but He's greatly saddened. And He waits for us to return back to Him with joy and rejoicing in His heart. He waits, looking every day down the long road of the path of our lives to return back through Him. Why? Because God wants us to have a joyful, loving, good life. He wants us to wipe away every tear and embrace His loving grace and His loving care for us in the good times as well as in the hard times. And when we repent in Christ and take a different path, there is more joy in heaven, echoing throughout heaven. That sort of mirrors that feast that the Father is going to have for the younger son with all the work that goes with that. So as children of God, much is expected of us, but God is always by our side. The Apostle John reminds us in John verse 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians defines this agape love of God the Father and God the Son that they share together and they share with us. When he teaches, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, and it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And that describes the Heavenly Father's love for you and for me. This is a love that God has. This is a love that we too are to share with one another and with others that we encounter. Give God this morning the best gift we can give on Father's Day by responding to His care for His devotion, His love, and service, and our service unto Him. Give your great-granddad, your grandfather, your father the best gift you can give him today by walking up to him. If you're a boy, raising out your hand. If you're a young lady, maybe a hug. But looking your father directly in the eye and just saying three simple but powerful words: I love you. I love you. I love you. And that will make his Father's Day a happy Father's Day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Loving God, we praise and glorify your holy name as our Heavenly Father. Enable us through the work of the Holy Spirit to set an example within our families and in the church by living the Christian life. I ask your blessing on the fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, and all gathered to worship you. In the name of Christ, the head of the church, we pray. Amen. We now have that time when we lift up those who are on our prayer list. They're listed in your bulletin. We need to add Steve Self to this list. I understand he has a bit of a problem with his leg, is going through testing in the hospital. So please keep Steve in prayers. Are there others that we should also lift up over and beyond those on the list here this morning? Please. What's her first name?
Her name is Kelly Lane.
What was that again?
Kelly Lane.
Kelly? Okay. Thank you. Please.
Our daughter-in-law's dad, Bill Coleman.
Very good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, we come to you in humility, love, and faith, invoking your Holy Spirit to surround us, guide us in living the Christian life. We praise and glorify you as our ever merciful and loving Father God. We ask your blessing upon this church. We ask your blessing on the mothers and fathers, husbands and wives who strive to set a Christian example of love within their families, with friends, and within this church. We ask your blessing upon the elders and all who volunteer to serve with love within Cook's Church. Help us to better discern and embrace your will for us to be repentant people of deep and abiding faith. Inspire us to be examples of living the Christian life within our families and with all whom we meet. Surround us and our loved ones, friends, and neighbors on the prayer list with your grace, love, and comforting presence. Bless and protect our military, police, and other emergency responders from the evil they too often encounter, but also in the service, life-giving service, and protection they provide. We ask that you accept this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And, O Lord, we also want to lift up Phil Coleman and Callie and others whom you know who need your healing touch over and above those on the prayer list. Amen. And now we come to that time when we render our offering unto the Lord. Please remember that our offering of financial gifts certainly supports the ministries of this church within the church, but also out into the community and around the world. But also, the giving of our time and talent is also most blessed by Christ as the head of the church. Lord, we give thanks for those dedicated to giving their time and talent within the church, serving in various capacities. We ask that you bless those who volunteer to take the gospel message of Jesus Christ out into this community and to people who do not know him, and to people not only here in this country, but in foreign lands as well. We ask your blessing upon these financial gifts that will support the ministries within the church and all the programs that will enable people to come closer to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, let's see. I think this pretty much wraps up our worship service for this morning. It's been a blessing to be with you this morning, and I give thanks for the opportunity to be here. And now as you go forth, remember to the words of the prodigal father, of the father to the prodigal son, and that is forgiveness, love, trust, and fidelity are the marks of fathers, mothers who love their children, love their families, and love the Lord. And I know we have a church full here this morning who certainly fit that description. And now may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and forevermore as you depart this place, going out into the world, being a God sighting to all whom you meet. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace.